guess would be that it is some sort of creature that possibly should be extinct.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
As I pulled the drape aside, all of a sudden there were five beings this tall all around me.
Welcome to the underground.
Welcome, everybody.
Please take your shoes off. Don't track any mud into the underground.
Yeah, I mean, we keep letting you in here and you just track that dirty popcorn from upstairs in here.
Yeah, take your coats off. Come into the underground.
Yeah, how you guys doing? How you doing?
I was going to say, they can't respond.
I know.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. They can respond telepathically. We have a link. We have a link with the remote viewing and all that. I don't know.
We connect telepathically with people who listen to this.
Yeah. So we have two new cases.
Well, wait. Do we have any news?
No news, because mine's pretty long, I think. So I didn't
wanna... we're going to skip the news.
Yeah.
No news for you.
No news for you.
No news for you. 1 week. So, yes, two new case files in our piles of files we're pulling out.
hold on. I just want to point out that another reason why there's no news today is I was just pulling off of this weird blog. So it was just really hard to pull off. So... it was just to formulate a full story off of someone's blog that I think that they pulled from translations from Russian blogs and other Russian stories, because he was thanking people that they translated things for him from Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I did not have time to grab some news on the way.
Oh, I should have looked.
I just wanted to add that. So go ahead. Sorry.
All right.
So we got some files for you.
Yeah, piles of files.
I got a really, really good one. I'm excited about mine.
I got a good one too. All right.
I didn't say you didn't. I'm just saying I'm excited for mine, and I'm excited to hear yours. I'm always excited to hear yours because I like being told stories. You know how excited I am because I ask tons of questions. Even if there's no answers to the questions, I'm just so curious. I love being told stories.
Really,
I listen to podcasts that just tell stories, like the No Sleep podcast, Lore.
Lore. I love Lore.
Yeah. Those are the big time podcasts.
Big time stories.
But I don't need to plug them. They're big time podcasts, but I definitely enjoy them.
Yeah.
So let's get into your case file.
Yeah. Okay. So my file this week is on the Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Oh, it started off kind of cute.
Honey Island.
I was for a second, I was like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Honey Island, Honey Island Monster.
Yes, Honey Island is in Louisiana.
Okay.
So this is one of them Louisiana swamp monsters.
Oh, yeah, can't be held by cages.
Can't be held by no cages. Can't be held by no door.
It's a voodoo monster.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's also known as the Louisiana Wookiee.
Whoa.
Because of its appearance, it looks a lot like a Wookiee.
I can't do a Wookiee sound, so I will not trouble you with it.
It's in the Bigfoot family.
Okay, so it's a Sasquatch.
It's a Sasquatch.
Of course, a Sasquatch is a name of a certain Bigfoot. So.
Yeah, I think Bigfoot's the most overreach.
Yeah, yeah.
Covers some ground.
It's a big ape man.
Big ape man.
All right.
So he's described as being 7 feet tall in stature.
Okay.
500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He has gray matted hair and yellow eyes.
700 pounds?
7 feet tall, 500 pounds.
Oh, he's lean. You'd think he'd be a little heavier. I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's only a bit taller than you.
I don't know how body mass index works. You would think a foot
taller.
Well,
I mean, it could be a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
He could be pretty lean, a lot of muscle. Or it could be all fat. And he could be a big fatty.
Yeah, I don't know how body proportions work, though. I have both fat and muscle, so.
Yeah, and I mean, don't body shame the Louisiana Wookiee here.
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
There's a certain body type that I really like in my ape men.
Yeah, you know, I really don't like the ones with the pointy heads. I like the ones with the flat top.
Yeah, like, you don't like the Harry and the Henderson pointy head?
It's false! It's false!
It is a weird head. I think they did it because it's
just
a little more.
Just ask Beef Row. Just ask Beef Row.
It's a little more. It's a little weird looking, cartoony.
Just ask Beef Row. No, seriously, like, people, remember when we did Willow Creek and Bobcat says that when he went to the Bigfoot conventions, he said that they're really passionate about that. Yeah. They say that the Harry and the Henderson's Bigfoot does not look like Bigfoot. His head does not shape like that.
I think it's because it's just a kid's movie and it's supposed to be a little cartoony.
Yeah, they probably try to make him look more friendly.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It's got John Lithgow. I like him.
For plugging things that don't need to be plugged.
I'm plugging movies.
Please watch Harry and the Henderson. It's an indie movie coming to your theaters now.
I did the sound effects show for Harry and the Hendersons at Universal Studios, so that's why I have a special connection with it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a very fun show. They don't have it anymore. It's filled up by Transformers.
Fuck Transformers.
Oh, roll out, Autobots. Roll out. That's the whole ride. I'll roll out.
It is. So this Louisiana Wookiee has got webbed toes.
Ooh, because he's in the Swampies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome evolution.
Oh. Thank you, Darwin.
Thank you.
Because he created it, right?
He made it. But similar to all Bigfoots,
mm-hmm.
has a disgusting odor.
Okay. So he's like a kind of like a skunky ape.
Yeah. So here's a picture of his face.
Oh, it's just like a face in a bush.
Yeah. And then here's footprint castings.
Oh, those are little feet.
You'll see the webbed toes.
Yeah, it looks like a big duck foot.
Yeah.
Looks like it has three toes, though.
Yes, it has three webbed toes.
What a weirdo. What a weird ape.
Weird Bigfoot.
Get out of here. You don't belong with us apes. Get out of here. You're not a great ape.
You ain't no Bigfoot.
Can't sit here.
You can't sit with us. Bitch, we going nowhere.
He's like Forrest Gump on the bus. Can't sit here. You got three toes.
So the legend of this Honey Island swamp monster is there was an incident. There was a train wreck that happened in the area in the early 20th century.
Oh, no. He robbed the train.
No!
Oh.
It was a traveling circus that was on the train. And from it, a group of chimpanzees escaped and interbred with the local alligator population.
Oh, my God. No.
The Honey Island Swamp Monster came to be.
This is
a chimpanzees? I'm bringing with them out.
This is not how that works.
That's the legend. That's okay. The folklore.
Okay.
My bro.
Okay.
So the monster was first sighted in 1963 when Harlan Ford and his friend Billy Mills were searching for an abandoned cabin. The friends reached a clearing where they spotted the creature, who kept eye contact with them for only a moment before escaping into the underbrush.
He's socially awkward.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
I don't like keeping eye contact.
I would run away too. Especially if I was some fucking freak.
Yeah, a fucking crocodile ape.
Crocodile ape, web toes. Describing the creature, Ford said the following. It was nothing like I'd ever seen before. Ugly and sinister, looking like something out of a horror movie.
Why are they from fucking New York, but they're down?
I always do the transatlantic accent.
I know.
Always.
I always do the British accent.
In 1974, the monster gained national fame after Ford and his friend, Billy Mills, claimed to have found several dead boars with their throats torn out in the swamp. Realizing the boars were too far from the water to have been killed by alligators, they began to suspect the monster they encountered 9 years prior was involved.
Hey, don't just go suspecting people without some evidence.
And all they did was see him look at them and run away. And they're like, that fucking thing must be killing these boars.
Yeah, you can't just go suspecting people here.
Yeah. Rather than have a second run-in with the swamp monster, Ford and Mills retreated from Honey Island Swamp at a fast pace. Later that night, the friends returned to make a cast of the footprints. That's where that footprint picture came from.
I think he might be self-conscious about his feet. He's like, no, don't cast my feet.
No, leave me alone. Ford continued to hunt for the creature for the next 6 years. After his death in 1980, a reel of Super 8 film showing the creature was allegedly found among his belongings.
Oh, wow.
And I have that footage. All right,
let me set up the Super 8. I got to set up the Super 8 projector.
Okay, so I haven't seen this either because I thought it would be really fun if we discovered this
I'm
together.
I'm just setting up the Super 8 projector
here. Oh, my gosh. You're such a drama queen.
Oh.
Okay, so here it is. We're going to watch it together.
All right, we got a Google image.
Google image is telling us where the swamp is.
Honey swamp.
Maybe there isn't any sound.
Swamp people.
Oh, here we go.
In 1963, her grandfather, Harlan Ford, was the first to report seeing a strange creature in the Honey Island Swamp.
Honey Island Swamp.
He captured images of it on 8mm film and made castings of its tracks. Since then,
oh my lord.
Oh, do you see that?
Have multiplied and become local lore.
That is Kenny Rogers.
I personally believe that there's something back there. Have I ever seen it? No, but we've heard it.
What? Oh. You haven't seen it? There's the video right there. Have I seen it? No.
They're slowed and zoomed and repeated in this video, but you saw it.
Yeah.
It was a walk-in.
Yeah, it was like, it doesn't have the grace of the Patterson-Gimlin.
Well, they're actually accused of it being too close to the Patterson-Gimlin to be real.
I don't think it's...
They're like, you copied them.
I don't think
you copied them.
I don't think it's... It doesn't have that arm swing of the Patterson.
Well, you can barely see it. He's like behind the trees.
You know, like when
it's not as like open a clearing as the Patterson-Gimlin.
That's true. There's tons of brush in front of whatever the creature is supposed to be, and there's tons of trees, and it's not. It's also not in focus.
Yeah, also it looks way thinner.
The Patterson-Gimlin, I think it's pretty much in focus. It's just poor film.
Poor quality.
Yeah, but there's also nothing in front of it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You can study the muscle movements more, and this it just is crappy.
It's still the most convincing, I guess, the Patterson-Gimlin, if you want to call it convincing. The arm swing, as they call it.
Well, there's a lot of things written about the movements and how it couldn't possibly be human movements because of this certain movement of this muscle and blah, blah, blah.
It's very hard to dissect film from that far away.
Yeah.
But then also you can do things like scaling it with rocks that size and measuring it against that and stuff like that.
Yeah, there are lots of things that can be done with it.
But I also think that one of the guys was friends with the guy that was in the movie Argo, like the real guy that did like the makeup for Planet of the Apes or something like that. I think, I may be mistaken, but something like that. The real makeup guy that did...
Who was friends with him?
One of Patterson or Gimlin.
Oh.
Like, and there's like
well, that's fucking suspect.
Yeah, I know. I may be wrong. I may be wrong, but I think there was something said about them having maybe like a middleman between them. And they like maybe got a gorilla suit in somehow. I don't know. I don't know, maybe.
That sounds a lot like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I don't know, because it's a pretty high-quality suit, if it is a suit.
Yeah, especially, it's a good one.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So there was another man named Ted Williams who claimed to have seen the creature many times. He even believes there are multiple swamp monsters. Oh, I could have killed them, Williams said, but I didn't, because they didn't seem to want to harm me.
Well, that's nice.
He could have, but he didn't.
You would think that someone would just be like, yeah,
I don't know, does he want a cookie or something?
Yeah, I could have.
I could have.
I
but
should.
I didn't.
Look at me, I'm a strong man.
I'm a big man.
Look at my big gun. Look at the bullets in it. I bought the bullets. I have bullets and a gun.
One day, Ted took his boat in the swamp to set trout lines. He was never seen again.
Oh, they heard him. They heard him on the news.
They were like, we can never harm you. Bitch, please. I'm going to harm you.
They saw, because they have a TV. They saw him on the news.
They're like, how dare you slander our name?
You can kill me.
So the idea of a large ape-like creature in the area is not without its critics. Notably, the local ecologist, Paul Wagner, who with his wife Sue run nature tours in the area. Neither they nor their Cajun guide, Robbie Charbonnet, have seen any evidence for
it. I haven't seen no swamp man. He's a man. How tall is he? Is he 7 feet tall?
You're making him too French. Oh, 7 feet.
I drive around on my swamp boat. It has a big fan on the back.
That is way too French.
Yeah, I know. I can't tone it down. I have to exaggerate. I have to exaggerate something about it.
In 2003, two men named M.K. Davis and J. Michael traveled to Honey Island Swamp in order to get stock footage for a documentary of the creature. Instead, they encountered locals who claimed that the entire thing was a hoax and that a shoe with a three-toed attachment had been found, confirming that Ford's footprint castings had been fake.
What a fucker. Oh, but they only found one shoe. They didn't find the other
shoe. What about the right foot? And that guy still disappeared.
Forever. Son of a bitch. What do you think?
I don't know. It's like these three dudes. These three dudes have been talking about it.
They seem to have a lot of fun.
And like all the locals are like, this is a hoax. No, I don't know.
I think that they should just embrace it and turn it into an economy like a lot of other towns have.
A lot of other towns that have monsters just embrace it and make some money.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they got honey swamp monster crap.
Because I did one from the south. I think it was Alabama, which I think is one state away from Louisiana. We don't know the sound. We're from California. We're so far away. But yeah, I think they did embrace it. And that's like how that town ticks away on that money. That's how Willow Creek survives.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And of course, they have rafting. But it's called Bigfoot rafting.
They always hanging on that Bigfoot.
It was definitely fun. I don't know if I believe it, especially at the very end when you told me about the shoe.
Yeah, sorry. We have to be honest.
I know.
That's how we keep the people trusting us.
I know.
Because we're honest.
Well, I
guess. So let's file it under?
Not really.
Sorry about it.
Okay.
I definitely believe that the circus train crash.
Yeah.
The monkeys bred with the alligators.
I definitely think that that's a dumb combination to make a Bigfoot. Why wouldn't you do chimpanzees and bears? Something like that.
That's a little excessive.
That's more like a Bigfoot. What is there a reptile about a Bigfoot?
But that makes an interesting combination.
I think a bear and a chimpanzee's more Bigfoot. I don't know. I'm mumbling now because I'm angry. Okay, so I'm excited about this one because we've been all about dinosaurs lately.
Dinosaur
DNA. Okay, this is the story of a good old-fashioned expedition of the unknowns of South America. Like one of those expeditions where guys have those funny white hats. What are those called? Do you know what those are called?
Funny white hats?
Yeah, where they have those funny white hats and they're dressed all in khaki and they have like the short khaki shorts.
Oh, like a safari hat?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know what they have a certain hat. Anyways, this is an expedition in 1908, and it was led by a man by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Percy Fawcett.
That is very British.
It is British. So he led this expedition. And while he is a big part of this story, we must start at the location. The trip was to a tepuy, which tepuy is a word for a very large, flat-topped mountain. So we'd probably call it like a plateau.
Yeah.
This particular plateau stood 3,500 feet above sea level, with steep sides all around it. And this one was on the border of Venezuela and Brazil. And it went by the name of Curupira. And just so happens that Curupira is also the name of a legendary ape man.
What?
Yeah. But this has nothing to do with that legendary ape man. But it's just funny that it's also another monster in this story. But it is like a Bigfoot-like creature. So Lieutenant Colonel Fawcett and his team came in contact with a native tribe there near the plateau. They were named the Waika. Fawcett and his team heard stories from the Waika of frightening monsters said to inhabit the Curupira and its surrounding areas by the local Waikai Indians. So they heard stories of frightening creatures from the Waika that inhabited the area around the Curupira and the vicinity of the base. So that the Waika lived around the base, and there's the steep sides of this Curupira plateau.
And the monsters live around the base, too.
They sometimes come down, but they live on the top.
They live on the top.
So, like, the top is like a bowl, almost. It's like a fertile bowl with steep sides on the inside as well.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's really weird, but just think of it as a plateau, like a tabletop. It was Fawcett's recollections of these reports that would later provide an author by the name of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle with plot ideas for his book called The Lost World.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So let's get into some of these. One of the particularly interesting stories that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle used in his story was that Fawcett told in particular was that of an exceeding voracious bipedal reptile known to the Waika as the Stoa, S-T-O-A. The Stoa was investigated more recently by Czech zoologist Jaroslav Mares, who documented some of the findings in his cryptozoological encyclopedia, The World of Mysterious Animals. He wrote a cryptozoological encyclopedia. This was published in 1997. Mares spent time at the base of this plateau. Yeah, he spent time there in 1978. But he couldn't scale the sides. He couldn't get up there.
Shit.
But the people, the natives there, have been up there. Warriors, brave warriors have been up there.
Are they sure they've been up there?
They've been up there.
Are they just telling stories?
They've been up there and they've been down. Brave warriors have been up there. Only they've been up there,
okay.
Alisa.
All right.
And he learned more from these people and their belief in the Stoa and other alleged monsters. But they described the Stoa as measuring up to 25 feet long and superficially resembling a giant-sized caiman. However, here's some following differences between the Stoa and the caiman. First and foremost of these being very notable fact that the Stoa is bipedal. It cannot walk on its front legs because they're too short. Am I painting a picture here for you?
So how short are its front legs?
Really short.
What does it do with them? What's the point of them?
They're short, but it has really long hind legs. But it's like a kind of like an alligator. Am I painting a picture?
Okay.
Its jaws are much shorter than a caiman's too, but its head is taller, and it bears a pair of prominent horns above its eyes. The Stoa's most common prey are tapirs. According to the natives, it hides in the dense forest close to the riverbank, where these large horse-related creatures bathe and ambushes them. And he eats these horse-sized, I guess they're a little smaller than a horse, but he eats these little creatures there. One account is of a confrontation between some of these hunters from the village and a Stoa, that they inadvertently encountered one while they were hunting, and it was hunting, and they got into a little conflict, and I don't think the humans won. They started shooting their arrows at it, and the arrows would not pierce its skin. They couldn't get through its hide, if you will. It enraged this Stoa, and it killed a couple of the guys before the rest could get away. So let's check the fossil record for what maybe this could be in this area. I checked what maybe this could be in this area.
Carnotaurus.
During the Cretaceous, South America, was home to a taxonomic family of theropod dinosaurs known as abelisaurids. They were bipedal carnivorous dinosaurs. The most famous abelisaurid from the area was a creature named Carnotaurus sastre.
Haha! At least that's right.
Or simply named Carnotaurus. Carnotaurus meaning meat-eating bull. Beliefs. One thing that's weird about the sightings of this creature is that they're only sighted around this plateau. No other plateaus in the area, no other tribes see this thing. So either they're concentrated on this one plateau, maybe they were shielded by the extinction, is the theory. But no other natives or anything is in there. It's in their folklore. It's only on this tribe. It's in this folklore. So this is Mares's theory, the cryptozoologist. He suggests that the stoa is indeed real. Perhaps its species is normally confined entirely on the plateau. Normally they do live up there, only up there. But that a single individual may very occasionally find its way down to ground level through a crack or a fracture leading down to the summit, which is where the natives live. And they don't usually come down, but they get stuck. They can't usually go back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes animals can get through something, but they can't figure a way back up? That's what he's thinking is happening to these creatures up there. Now, so stoa, this Carnotaurus, is not the only creature that's down here. Even more creatures are described to Maris in the immediate area by a gold prospector. He's actually a Scottish one, but I can't do that. So I'm just going to do a prospector. Here's one called a sua, a bulky, long-necked, quadrupedal creature, which is likened to be a sauropod dinosaur, or even a plesiosaur. However, its limbs are clearly portrayed in the drawing by natives, not flippers. So they think it's a sauropod. There's drawings of a sauropod dinosaur up there. There's also a washowri.
What?
A washowri. A large winged creature. I knew you would like that. A large winged creature with no feathers or hair. It would sometimes swoop down from Kurupira's high summit into the jungle at its base, skimming through the natives' tribes' territory on its huge wings that spanned 20 feet or more. It was said to have a long, bony, backward-pointing crest upon its head and sported a very long, pointed beak. What does that sound like?
Pteranodon.
Pterosaur, yeah.
I hate it!
Some kind of a pterosaur. When Maris met a gold prospector that went by the name of Riggs during the spring of 1997, he learned that near a waterfall at Kurupira, Riggs had seen a mysterious flying creature that a native had identified as the washowri. Maris stated that other gold prospectors in the same area have also claimed to have seen such creatures there, flying high above the jungle treetops, and some even sworn that they have been attacked by them. So there just seems to be tons of different species there. At least three. So if there's three, then there's more, right?
Yeah. Typically.
But, just like you did, I have to present the truth, right?
Tell me the truth.
I'm not debunking it, but I'm just presenting a little bit more info on Mr. Lieutenant Colonel Percy Harrison Fawcett. So I looked at just him, not just this expedition, and he's kind of weird. He does some...
This guy's weird?
Yeah, he's weird.
Someone named Colonel Lieutenant? It's weird. Someone has two titles of different levels?
No, that's a real rank. Lieutenant Colonel. Yeah, it is.
No, that's stupid.
So he often exaggerates things. He went a little bit before this expedition. He went on an expedition in 1907. Fawcett claimed to have seen and shot a 62-foot-long giant anaconda.
Oh.
The largest anaconda that's ever been seen is 17 foot long. So he's exaggerating a lot there. 62 from 17 feet. A claim for which he was ridiculed by scientists worldwide.
Did he also find Candyland?
Yeah. He reported other mysterious animals known to zoology, such as a small cat-like dog about the size of a foxhound, which he claimed to have seen twice, or the giant Apazuaca spider, which was said to have poisoned a number of locals. The giant Apazuaca spider is a kind of black tarantula so large that a dinner plate could not cover it. Ugh. This monster lowers itself down at night on the sleepers beneath, and its bite meant death. Which I don't think actually exists.
Okay, good.
Because for one thing, tarantulas don't lower themselves down because they're way too big for webs.
That's still scary though.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there are. I mean, there are pretty big spiders. I don't know if there's ones that big though.
This guy lives for people like me who wanted to leave the planet because she thought a photoshopped giant crab was real.
So, yeah. What do you think about this possible prehistoric world that is maybe overcrowding, and maybe that's why these dinosaurs are starting to overflow into the South American jungles, and that's my theory of... Sorry, go ahead.
I say it made a really great Willis O'Brien movie.
Yes.
It made a really great book.
Yes.
But it's not real.
Oh.
Sorry, babe.
I want it to be real.
We can go to South America and we can try and find it. I'll go with you. But it's not real. I'm sorry.
I just want it to be real. It's definitely a good, cool idea. It's not an island like Jurassic Park or the Lost World Jurassic Park. That Lost World. But a plateau that's isolated nonetheless, kind of.
The pteranodon would have spread by now.
Oh, I know.
And this guy is full of shit.
It's just fun to think about it.
It is. It's fun.
And Carnotaurus is my fave.
Is he?
Yeah. He's my
favorite. Favorite?
He's my fave.
Oh. Sometimes your favorite changes, though.
Well, like fave in a certain movie. Fave in Jurassic Park 1 is Dilophosaurus.
Of course.
And then fave in The Lost World would be T-Rex.
Mm-hmm. What about the new movie?
Carnotaurus. Because he's finally in the movie.
Thank you.
Yeah, so...
So, both of them kind of got filed under not really today.
But they're both really fun ones.
Yeah.
I was still excited to do it, despite... And I liked those little side stories at the end about the anaconda and the tarantula.
Yeah. Definitely some fun ones.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. So, yeah, we had a nice little 40-minute episode.
Yeah.
It was fun. Well, we hope you enjoy this trip to the bunker. We have a poll up on Twitter. It's for July's double feature. It should be up for a little bit when this episode comes out. So check out that poll. It's for July's double feature. It's the 4th of Kai July. I came up with that because I was just fucking struggling to come up with the fucking theme. And yeah, it's American giant monsters.
Yeah.
Cloverfield, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, Eight-Legged Freaks, and 20 Million Miles to Earth. Check that out. Vote for your favorite, and the top two will be what we talk about.
Yeah. And definitely check out everything that we do online.
Yeah, check out all our social media bullshits, and check out the website, scifidoublefeaturedrivein.com, for the t-shirts. And
check out our t-shirt. I bought the one from our Independence Day episode. It's so good. I love it so much. yeah, check out our Patreon. Rate us on iTunes. Rate us on Stitcher. Rate us on Google Play.
Yeah.
Anything you listen to us on. It really helps. Raise on Facebook.
Yeah, and talk to us on Twitter and any of the other ones, because we love to talk to you.
Yeah, we like talking. But anyway, we'll see you on the other side.
And if you want to survive this apocalypse, you got to praise Godzilla.
You
got to
praise him.
Praise him.
You got to praise him.
Put him inside your enlarged heart and praise him.
Praise that motherfucker.
Praise him.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Maggie.
We're Taylor from Rock Candy Podcast. Kind of like Behind the Music, except unauthorized and drunk. But come along every week and listen to us talk about artists or albums that you may know really well or may have never heard of while we're drinking beers.
Witty things to talk about.
Great hot takes with some hot babes.
That's subjective, but okay. So go find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever you catch your pods.
And with that,
party on, kids.
Well, that sounded forced.
Is it not?